שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, רבי קהילת המשיח בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, that ideas and implications are conjured to the mind by figures is a phenomenon in human experience admitted and explored from the most ancient times. Think of a number. If you do, it is quite probable that your mind will become a spacious palace of perception, and your number the crowned monarch enthroned in its midst. As a king, it will be surrounded by inspiring attendants. Some black-robed, for who can pluck sorrow from the soul? Some gay, for memory has its sparkling moments. There will be perfumes, too, for the mind has nostrils, as well as the body. Ears, no doubt, for whole symphonies can sound in the silence. What, all this in numbers? Why not? Think of a number. It could be perhaps the telephone number of the one you love or have loved. Ah, see what we've done? We have peopled the palace of our perception with a veritable pageant of preciousness. Who would have thought of it? Fragrance in phone numbers. There is one number, however, upon which admittance to the Jewish mind will find no palace big enough to contain its attendants. It will need the entire world to hold its entourage, for it is accompanied by drama-packed history. That number, my friends, is 12. Like a giant magnet, it marks and masters the movements of a multitude throughout millennia. It is a married monarch, and its queen is Israel. 12 sons of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 stones in Aaron's breastplate, 12 possible mutations of the sacred tetragrammaton Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, that sacred name of deity, chosen by the Godhead to denote essential and absolute being, uniting into one eternal existence that which to man is viewed as future, present, and past. It is sweet to observe how the great God of the universe meets this triune human viewpoint of time with a progressive revelation of his glorious being. In the early revelations of the Bible, we are introduced to the creating Godhead by the designation Elohim, a noun occurring sometimes poetically in the singular, but usually and generally in the plural. This phenomenon has not failed to excite comment and to arrest attention. I believe it to be an important and intentional part of the divine revelation. Of these beginnings of biblical enlightenment, Rabbi Dr. Kaufman Kohler writes, and here I quote, "They take the lofty standpoint that the heathen world, while worshipping its many divinities, had merely lost sight of the true God, after whom the heart ever longs and searches. The Godhead, divided into gods, as is hinted even in the biblical name Elohim, must again become the one God of humanity." That is the end of the quotation. It is also to be noted that from the earliest chapters, Scripture unites these two supreme appellatives, Elohim and Yahweh, Jehovah, and I feel confident there is design in this, for neither of these names are derivatives from heathenism, but are the products of divine revelation. Elohim appears to be an abstract and generic title, and is also used to describe false gods. Yahweh, on the other hand, is a proper name, carrying with it the scriptural associations of personality and redeeming relationship to Israel and to all individuals. The two appellations are scripturally brought into conjunction in what is, in itself, a superlative and yet elusive revelation, and, poetically enough, The number 12 is ideologically associated with this majestic mystery of the revealed Godhead. There are 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet, and exactly 12 of these are employed to epitomize and proclaim what is at once a most profound and a most glorious revelation of the mystery of the Godhead. In our advance through the pages of Deuteronomy, Devarim, we shall come across it in the 6th chapter and the 4th verse of that final book of Moses. Let me recite it for you. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. From even before the common era, this declaration has been the rallying cry of Israel and the very foundation of synagogue liturgy and worship. Although the Talmud declares that it may be proclaimed in any language, I am firmly convinced that Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, is the safest tongue to which to entrust its majestic mystery. Indeed, some languages actually conceal what the Hebrew reveals. English is one vernacular that does not do the text justice. The English declares, listen carefully, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Paired right down to a literal translation, the English would read rather strangely, "Hear, Israel, Yahweh our God's, Yahweh one." Yes, that's correct. Yahweh is our God's. The noun is plural, yet Yahweh is one. It is unfortunate indeed that the English language is restricted to a solitary adjective, one, a word which compels and channels the English thinking mind into ideas associated with arithmetic. One is one and not two. One is one and not three. One is one and not four, etc. I am convinced that we are doomed to failure if we use an English key to unlock a Hebrew mystery. Moreover, we are surely searching in the wrong field if we explore areas mathematical for the answer to the enigma. The Hebrew language, unlike the English, has two adjectives which could be translated by the English word one. The first Hebrew word is yachid, and implies singularity, an onlyness, the state or condition of being solitary. Here is one use of yachid, where the psalmist cries to God, "Unto thee do I turn, be gracious unto me, for I am solitary and afflicted." Psalm 25. Here is another, "Make thee mourning as for an only son." Jeremiah 6. And in other places throughout the scripture. In the 68th Psalm, the word is used of the grace of God, of whom it is said, "God maketh the solitary to dwell in a house." Among the most poignant uses of the word yachid, solitary, is that found in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where the Eternal commands our father Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and offer him for a burnt offering." Now this Hebrew adjective, yachid, implying solitariness, is not the word used of the Godhead. When applied to deity, the adjective is always echad, a term which is not confined within arithmetical limitations, but conveys to us the idea of unity rather than singularity, a oneness that implies being identical within that oneness. Its employment in this sense is prolific in Scripture. For instance, evening and morning become echad in a day. Man and woman become echad in marriage. However, I have gone into this whole subject far more fully in my book, Out of the Clouds, and in an earlier series of radio messages to which I must refer you. Our Shema, as it is called, is indeed a confession of faith in the unity and uniqueness of God, as Rabbi Dr. I. Epstein has affirmed, although in justice to him and to myself, I should add that we may not find ourselves in complete agreement upon the interpretation of his words. It was said of the famous Rabbi Akiba ben Joseph, the founder of Rabbinic Judaism, that, at the moment of his death by martyrdom, he was breathing our Shema, and as he was sounding forth the word Echad, his soul departed from him. Then came a voice from heaven which said, Blessed art thou, Rabbi Akiba, for thy soul and the word Echad left thy body together. That is the end of the quotation. The Shema is said to equal the acceptance of the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Jacob Kranz quotes Mendel as saying, If you weary in the service of God, it means you are carrying other burdens, not that of the yoke of heaven. Rabbi Judah said, He that has never seen the light may not recite the Shema with its benedictions. I would like to press those words from their original negative physical connotation into a positive spiritual perspective, and affirm joyfully that he that has seen the light of the world has accepted the invitation this same light of the world made when he cried, Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will relieve you. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and of a quiet disposition, and you will get relief, for my yoke does not chafe, and my load is light. My friends, the Messiah is not a destroyer of the sacred principle of unity enunciated in our Shema. On the contrary, he is within and identical with that unity. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.